In America, good manners were heavily influenced by a man who contributed so much more. George Washington, patriot, soldier, political leader, was a gracious man and a man guided by a desire to treat others respectfully. Presidential historian Richard Brookhiser has edited and written a preface to Washington's Rules of Civility, the 110 precepts that guided our first president in war and peace. Where did George Washington get these 110 rules of civility?
Well, his copy, which is a handwritten copy, is now in the Library of Congress, and it was in a notebook that clearly he was doing school lessons in and other sorts of learning stuff. I mean, there are copies of deeds, copies of wills, you know, legal documents that a planter's son in Virginia in the 18th century might be expected to know. There's a geography lesson in there. So it's school material, educational material. And in this book, there is a list of 110 rules for how a young man should behave in company and conversation. And then scholars who have subsequently looked at this discovered that the model for these rules was a set that was written by French Jesuits in the 1590s and then translated into English in the 17th century. And then some shortened version of this set got to Virginia in the 1740s. And when young George Washington was a teenager, someone probably gave this to him as a dictation exercise, because there's some spelling mistakes in there that he wouldn't have made if he was copying it, you know, from a text. And clearly, you know, part of it was a penmanship exercise, because the handwriting, it's kind of sweet, you know, it's the handwriting of a young man who's learned to do his capital F's, you know, and the capital F's are really neat and very neatly done. But it was also to learn these rules themselves and to internalize them.
Do you have favorites?
Well, some of them are just cute. I mean, they strike us as cute now because the historical circumstances have changed. I mean, there's a rule about not spitting into the fire or putting your boots up against the fire, especially if there be meat upon it. And, you know, we laugh because we don't cook meat on fires, at least not in the house anymore. But I must tell you, over the water cooler in my gym, there is a little sign that says, do not spit into the water cooler. So It's the same principle. If there's an amenity, you don't ruin it for someone else. But I guess my favorite rule, and it's my favorite rule because it shows what's going on in the rules, which most of them don't. These are not like Benjamin Franklin's little precepts in Poor Richard's Almanac. You know, Franklin will tell you something like, early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. So you have the instruction, and then you have the reason for the instruction. Washington's rules of civility, they're inexplicit. They tell you what to do, how to walk, or how to talk, or how to eat, but they mostly don't tell you why you're going through all this, except for Rule 13, and that kind of tips the hand. And this rule says that if you see filth or thick spittle upon the floor, put your foot dexterously upon it. If it be upon the clothes of your companions, brush it off privately. And if your companion brushes it off your cloak, always return thanks to him who brushes it off. So, the word privately is the first really interesting word there. In other words, if you see filth on your friend's coat, don't go up to him and say, look at all that filth on your coat. Let me brush that off for you. And you don't do that because you would embarrass him. And then, if someone brushes it off your coat, and even if they do it in public, even if they do it the wrong way, you know, you may feel embarrassed, you may feel upset because your coat got dirty, whatever, but what you must do is thank him. Return thanks to him who brushes it off. What you're being told here, and it's being told quite explicitly, is that you must not do the first thing that pops into your head. You know, what you must do in every situation is consider the sensibilities of the people around you, because you're never alone in the world. You're always surrounded by people, and they have their own feelings, their own rights, if you will, and you have to be mindful of them.
Presidential historian Richard Brookhiser. He is the editor of Rules of Civility, the 110 precepts that guided our first president in War and Peace. It's published by the University of Virginia Press. Thank you very much, Mr. Brookhiser.
Thanks for having me.
For a complete list of George Washington's 110 Rules of Civility, please visit our website at npr.org.